that material happiness is nothing but another side of suffering, they want it. And to get it very quickly, they worship Lord Shiva. We find that materialists are generally devotees of many demigods, especially Lord Shiva and Mother Durga. They do not actually want spiritual happiness, for it is almost unknown to them. But if one is serious about being happy spiritually, he must take shelter of Lord Vishnu, as the Lord personally demands. Sarva dharman paritya jaya mami kamshanam vraja ham tvam sarva papayo moksha yasma sutra. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. Om Gyana Tirmana Seya Gyana Anjana Shalakaya Saksham Mantami Natasmaya Shri Yogi Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pishtaya Bhutra Srimati Bhakti Vinta Swamajmani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pashani Nirvishesha Shunivari Pashchata Vishatari Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Deita Gadada Shri Vasudeva Bhakti Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So a few weeks ago I had discussed Bhishma saying that the foremost duty for all varnas and ashram is to suppress anger. And here we'll be learning about Lord Shiva, who is pleased easily and he is angered easily. But before I discuss this, I'd like to run back a little to the chapter summary. And this chapter summary is compact with some very beautiful stories. Many, many beautiful stories are really compact inside. The first one was how the Ganges came with Maharaj Ansuman, Sagar, King Sagar, then his son, his grandson, Amshuman, then Dilip, and then finally Bhagirath. They all tried to bring the Ganges to earth. Finally Bhagirath will succeed, and that's what we're discussing now. But later on, further down it stated, the son of Sindhuvipa was Ayutayu. And the son of Ayutayu was Rituparna, who was a friend of Nala. Rituparna gave Nala the art of gambling and learned from him the art of Ashvavidya. So this is one of the very beautiful stories in the Mahabharata. Actually, there are a few very nice ones, Nala and Damayanti. That's a very beautiful story. And then there's one with Dushmant and Shakuntala, Kacha and Devayani, and Savitri and Satyavan. I don't know if you're aware of those stories, but they're very beautiful. And Srila Prabhupada commented, because I know sometimes a lot of us really, we don't care for so much stories, but in the Bhagavad Gita, Manaha Prasada Samyatvam, serenity, simplicity, gravity, self-control, and purity of thought are austerities of the mind. Within that purport, Srila Prabhupada said, the best course is to divert the mind to the Vedic literature, which is full of satisfying stories, as in the Puranas and Mahabharata. See? So Srila Prabhupada was actually saying this, because I know sometimes devotees, they don't know much. But I'd like to give you a little preview of the story with Nala and Damayanti before we actually go into this verse. Nala was the king of the Nishadas, and he was son of Virasena, foremost of monarch, powerful, righteous, truthful, sense controlled, force in horses and dices, handsome and liked by all. So one day he was walking around his kingdom and he saw some geese. They had golden wings, and he caught one of them, and the geese said, the swan, there was a golden swan, said, "Please don't kill me, that I'm going to speak on your behalf to the beautiful and chaste Damayanti." Damayanti was one of the most beautiful women on earth. And so Nala knew about her, or he heard about her. So the swan told him that, "I'm going to speak on your behalf to Damayanti." And so he released the swan, and the swan flew to the kingdom of Bhima. Bhima was the father of Damayanti. Damayanti was begotten by the help of a sage called The sage was called Dayama, and he helped to, because King Bhima couldn't get any children. So he performed some kind of jagya, and Damayanti was born, and she was very beautiful. So he finally decided to have a swayamvar. That is, like, many suitors would come to engage to get a hand of Damayanti. So many kings were going, and Nala decided to go also. But on the way, he met Agni, Indra, Varuna, and Yama. They also wanted to go to get Damayanti. But what they did, they told Nala, "Look, you go and play it on our behalf. You ask for us, really." So Nala is thinking, "I'm going to try to win this girl. And now here are these demigods, Agni, Indra, Varuna, and Yama. They're asking me to do the same thing. So I'm in a dilemma now. Now I can't go on my behalf. I have to go on their behalf." So he, true to his word, he decided to do that. And he went there, and he presented a case to Damayanti about these demigods, and there were other kings and so. But Damayanti did not agree to none of their proposals, because she had already became infatuated by Nala because of the plate of the swan. And so eventually they would get married, and they got two sons. But then later on, Kali wanted to take revenge, because he didn't like the idea that Nala won Damayanti. So he actually entered the mind of Nala. And Nala started to act very strange. And Dwapara Yuga also entered the dice. And it stated that Nala decided to challenge his brother Pushkar to a game of dice. And the wager was, whoever won leaves the kingdom and go into the forest. And so Nala lost. And Pushkar won the kingdom. And so Nala had to go into the forest with Damayanti, with two pieces of clothing. They left the children, I think, with her parents or something. And while they were sleeping, a swan flew away with the clothing of Nala. So he was actually naked. And so he had to borrow a part of Damayanti's clothing. And while they were sleeping, Nala woke up, and he, and because Kali was within his mind, was disturbing him, he decided to leave Damayanti there, leave her sleeping in the forest, and he went away, because he was not thinking clearly. And he went walking all over the place, And Damayanti was sleeping, and when she woke up, she saw a huge snake trying to kill her. It's going to swallow her. And it stated that a hunter was passing by and heard her scream and saved her from the snake. But then, immediately the hunter became infatuated with her and he wanted to marry her. But she could not agree to that. She told him she was married. And he persisted. And she burnt him to ashes with her wrath. And the two of them continue in different ways, really. And after a long and intriguing journey, they would meet again at the end. After a long time, the story has a lot of suspense and sadness to it. And finally, they would meet and get back together. And then, by that time, some sage was able to get Kali out of Nala, and he went back to bet with his brother Pushkar. That's what here is stated in the Bhagavatam. Rituparna gave Nala the art of gambling. So Rituparna taught Nala how to gamble better this time. And he went back and he gambled with Pushkar and he won the kingdom. Sent Pushkar away into the forest. See, this is the story. But you could read it. This is just a synopsis to it. And very beautiful. And of course there's the story with Shakuntala and Dushmant and Kacha and Devayani, Savitri and Satyavahan. I don't know if you could remember those, but especially for the ladies, because Srila Vyasadeva wrote, especially in the Mahabharata and the Puranas, for children and ladies, see? And so, but everyone should go, but they like it more, because the stories are very beautiful, very, very beautiful. Subject matter for, thinking, rather than looking at soap opera and Desperate Housewife or whatever, what's going on these days. These stories are very, very interesting and very nice to read and contemplate on. So we come back to this verse here. Lord Shiva, he is very, very easily pleased. He's called Ashutosh, very easily pleased. And he's also very easily disturbed. Very easily disturbed. I don't know if you know that Ravana's name before was, he was not Ravana before, but his name was Dasagriva. And what had happened, he had defeated Kuvera and took away his chariot, his Pushpaka chariot. Was a very powerful chariot. It works with the dictates of the mind. It could fly anywhere. So after he sees it from his half brother Kuvira, he was flying overhead Kailash, and the chariot stopped moving. So he was wondering what was happening. But it's not unlike these planes. This plane would fall and crash, but the chariot was just in the air suspended there, Pushpaka chariot. And and he saw Nandeshwara, that was one of the associates of Lord Shiva. And he find out what was going on. Nandeshwara says, look, you have to turn back, go away, that Lord Shiva is potent in this region, and you should not pass around here. And Dasagriva then, he was a powerful demon, very powerful. He didn't care. He said, who is this Shiva? Who is this Shiva? Then Ravana saw Nandi, he said that Nandi had the face of a monkey then. And Ravana started to laugh him sarcastically. And Nandi calls him, he says, soon that a group of monkeys, a clan of monkeys, would defeat your whole pack of Rakshasas in Sri Lanka. anyhow, Ravana didn't bother with that, but then when he saw Lord Shiva, he wanted to kill him. So he lifted Kailash mountain. He lifted the mountain. And when he lifted that mountain, Lord Shiva said, okay. And immediately pressed down the mountain with his hand. When Lord Shiva pressed down the mountain with his hand, Ravana started to scream so loudly that it stated that the demigods fell off their seats. It seems also at that time, this was in Dwarka Yuga, it seems at this time that some of the principal demigods, they were residing in the Himalaya mountains, like Indra, Varuna, Agni, and so forth. There is lots of evidence to substantiate that they were residing there. But anyhow, it stated that the cry of Ravana was so loud that the demigods fell off their seat, and even they were crying in fear when they heard, because they were scared of Ravana. But of course, his name was not Ravana then. His name was Dasagriva. And it stated that Lord Shiva pressed his hand there for 1,000 years. And he was crying and begging, and he started to beg Lord Shiva to release him. And then he became a devotee of Lord Shiva. So sometimes, even though Lord Shiva is angered easily, in this case, it took a long time for his anger to appease. And then he finally released Ravana. And Ravana became his devotee. Ravana and many, many other Rakshasas then, demons, became the devotee of Lord Shiva. So in the 10th canto, Sukadev Maharaj Parikshit was a little bewildered, and he was questioning Sukadev Goswami, why is it that Lord Shiva devotees are so successful? Why is it that Lord Shiva devotees are so successful, and the devotees of Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna, this seems poverty stricken? And so Sukadeva Goswami explains that Lord Shiva is always united with his consort material nature, and thus his worshippers are materialistic, are materialist, desiring assets. Lord Vishnu has no connection with material nature, and one who worships him becomes free from nature's influence. So because Lord Shiva is very closely attached to material nature, he is affected somewhat by material nature also. And all his followers are materialists. They want, you know, lots of wealth and so forth. But whereas Lord Krishna, he would not give wealth easily. And the same question was asked Maharaj Yudhishthira also. Sukadeva Goswami said, your grandfather asked the same question to Lord Krishna. And then Lord Krishna explains, if I especially favor a devotee, I take away his riches. When the devotee is poverty stricken, his family members no longer show interest in him, and so he becomes doubly unhappy. When my devotee is bereft of riches, family and friends, he has no one to turn to but me. On the other hand, the demigods may quickly offer benediction without consideration. And then Lord Krishna went on to narrate the story of Vrikasura. There's a demon called Vrikasura. Of course, there's another demon called Vritasura that was killed by Indra. But Vrikasura, he had wanted wealth and so he decided to inquire from Narada. Who is the best of the devas to worship? Narada understood his mind and immediately said, "Look, Lord Shiva." So Vritasura decided to cut his flesh and offer it into the fire, and he did it for 6 days, but Lord Shiva did not appear. So he was going to cut off his head and offer it into the fire. And then Lord Shiva appeared and said, "What do you want?" He said, "Whoever head I touch, let it split to pieces." Lord Shiva immediately regretted it, but he said he cannot go back on his benediction. He said, "So be it." And so immediately Vritasura says, "Let me try it on your head." And so Lord Shiva started to run, and he first went to Indralok, then Brahmalok. And they couldn't help him, and then he went to Vishnulok. Lord Vishnu knew about what was going on. He took the form of a brahmachari and he told Vritasura, "Look, I don't believe Lord Shiva for a moment. Lord Shiva is not so balanced right now because he had a quarrel with his father-in-law, Daksha, and he's not so balanced. I don't believe him for a minute. Let me do this. Just try it on your head. And if it doesn't work, we're going to chastise Lord Shiva." And immediately he put his hand on his head, and that was the end of the demon. And so Lord Shiva was saved from this calamity. And so Lord Krishna explained to Maharaj Yudhisthira that Lord Shiva gives boon easily. He gives boon easily, and he sometimes doesn't really think what's going on. Just like here it's stated, Lord Shiva bestows upon anyone and everyone very quickly, not caring to know how the devotees prosper or suffer. And so this is the position. Of course, Lord Shiva is very, very exalted, and we cannot go away with the idea that he's really not exalted. Because we know half or even more than half of India actually prays to him. But from us that know the philosophy thoroughly, we know that people pray to him and all the other demigods, because the demigods award benediction very easily. See, within the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, "Kamaish taish teya rida gena prapadyante niya devata." Those whose minds are distorted by material desires surrender unto demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own natures. Antavattu phalamtesham tad bhavati alpa medhesam. Men of small intelligence worship the demigods, and their fruits are limited and temporary. Those who worship the demigods go to the planets of the demigods, but my devotees ultimately reach my supreme planet. And Bhogaishvarya Prakastanam Tayaparita Chetasam. In the minds of those who are attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination of devotional service to the Lord does not take place. So we see that these are some of the reasons that people worship the demigods. They give benediction very easily, and they're pleased easily. But on the whole, Lord Krishna would not do this, because he does not want to get us entangled and entrapped in this material world. And so, by surrendering to the Lord, he stated here, "Sarva dharman pratyajya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tam sarva papebhyo moksha yasma sucha." Abandon all varieties of religion and surrender unto me, I shall free you from all sinful reactions. And if you take this to heart and preach it, we may be able to change the world somewhat. It's stated that the Christians, they go on to worship Jesus on behalf of the Lord. But there's no substantial evidence that he is the supreme being. There's no substantial evidence. In the Bhavishta Puran, when King Salivahan was the son of Vikramaditya, he met Jesus in the Himalayas mountain. He asked Jesus, "Who are you?" He says, "I am Ishaputra." And here it's stated one name of Lord Shiva is Isha. See, Isha. He says, "I am Ishaputra." And that means the son of Isha. And I was born from Kumari Garba, that is, unmarried woman. And then he said, "What's your duty?" He said, "My duty is to preach to the malechas and the lowest of mankind and propagate the teachings of Isha." So we find that lots of people, they don't inquire who is the Supreme. And sometimes they just get carried away and they just worship. Just like most people worship the demigods, they get carried away by worshiping them because they're satisfied with the benedictions they get. And so they never get the time to inquire into the absolute truth. And so they die, they go to the plants of the demigods, and then they have to take birth here again and continue the suffering. See, so our mission is to try to change this. And all of us have an obligation to this. Once we're taught this transcendental knowledge, all of us is obliged to try to help the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya. So I'll stop here. I don't know if there's any question or comment. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.